Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Limited space doesn't mean you can't create a garden. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it's Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello,
Murph. How's it growing, Laura?
It is growing well. Today on GLT's Grow, Murph has advice on growing in small spaces, which can be a bit of a challenge.
It can be. It can be an asset and a benefit, too.
Okay.
The challenge is that we never have enough space. You know, it's like whatever it is you think you have enough space for, you know, say you move into a new house and the front
like
room.
You live at the Biltmore, the biggest house in America.
You go to the furniture store and you find the couch that's named Titanic. It's got headlights. It won't fit, you know. But the small space gardening is becoming increasingly popular because there are more of us all the time, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in less and less space. For the masses, we live in less space. You know, some people have beaucoup space. But anyway, that gives us a great big category to talk about because, you know, small space gardens are anything from a pot of mixed veggies and herbs
mm-hmm.
that are out on your terrace, you know, for your kitchen garden, your Italian herbs and a couple of other, tomatoes and stuff like that in there. But it could also be a way to describe the gardening on a slope. So if you live in an urban area or not, say your property is a slope.
I've seen some sharp slopes in my day
where
you can't do much with it.
Yeah, and you're limited to the little areas that you could terrace off or make flat.
Yeah.
You know, that's one example. And then the most popular example, I think, are these balconies, Juliets,
mm-hmm.
little things that people that live in townhomes and metropolitan areas where people just have less outdoor living space in general.
All right.
And it spills off onto the roof occasionally and on top of the garage rooftop because lots of metropolitan areas have a freestanding home with an unattached garage back behind it.
Yes.
And those are all places where these small space gardens are turning up. And there's a couple things, you know, we choose to be positive on Grow. And the thing that I think is interesting and kind of funny is that in the small spaces, you're limited. The space is limited. So I encourage people that have small space gardens to spare no expense because the square footage is so small, you might as well get the best.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be sitting right on top of it when you're out there. And you may only be able to stand. You know, I've had experience where I was on a balcony where an avid gardener had parked numerous plants that they cared for and enjoyed. And you couldn't sit down. You could have a cigar out there and you could gaze through the foliage, you know, out into the rest of the world.
But there were so many plants on the balcony.
That's right. And, that was a very eclectic version of a garden.
Mm-hmm.
But the small space gardens lend towards the various design principles and kind of decor virtues that we all have come to love.
All right.
So I like to think of a lot of times the plants in these small gardens are sculptural. They have an art effect because you are so close to them. And that offers all kinds of interesting little details and nuances.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week it's advice for small space gardening. Now, Murph, when we're talking sculptural, do you have any particular plants in mind for that?
Well, you know, something that I think is fantastic in small space gardens are containerized trees and large woody ornamental plants.
Okay.
They have a permanence. You can select the containers so that the plant will survive out there and they can be planted in a way that they're sustainable for a period of time, rarely forever, however.
Mm-hmm.
But it also lends towards something we've talked about a lot here, and Grow Corporate encourages us to pound that drum about making a plan, you know, because even though it's a small space garden, it might be your balcony off of a master bedroom, could be the rooftop thing, and you don't want to move stuff up there twice, right? You want to get your ducks in a row so that you limit, say, the inside of your house to the exposure of dirt and plants and things like that.
Certainly.
So there's the virtue for the plan again. But I think that these small space gardens that you find on balconies and, I've been to some hotels during travels before where they have small balconies off of your room, and
uh-huh.
There's nothing there, you know. And I think, geez, if you had to live in a situation like that, you'd really like something there and something that's easy to take care of as a larger plant in a year-round container. And there's a lot we can do with just that one simple thing.
Well, do you have any favorites in mind?
I'm sorry you did ask me that. So, you know, I'm a big fan of witch hazel.
Mm.
Okay, it's actually a very suitable container plant.
Yeah.
Dwarf lilacs, either variety.
Really?
You know, we have the Miss Kims and we have the Dwarf Koreans, or two different lilacs there.
Mm-hmm.
And something else I think are nice are Japanese maples. You know,
you can keep that in a pot?
Well, that's the right plant, right place principle applies here too.
So make sure you get one that doesn't get too big for a pot.
Yeah, but a lot of times, small space gardens are ones that are afforded some level of protection.
Okay.
And because they're in between two buildings.
I gotcha.
Or they're sandwiched in off of a terrace wall on a rooftop or something. If there's not too much exposure, this is where these type of wonderful little plants belong, is where they have some protection. And they're close to you, so it's easy to care for them. And there's a lot of other plants that you can put in pots. The tricolor beech is another one that I've seen perform well.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many, many different evergreens. So the woody, the leafy plants seem to last a little longer. But as far as the evergreens go, the arborvitae and the juniper, they're the most reliable. And, you know, you got to think about, well, you know, I've got this big container on my balcony. It has a tree in it. And right where the opening of the container is right where my legs are in the seated position, right?
Right.
So that's where some of the cool stuff that's associated with small space gardening comes to play. So I've seen the pots dressed with all these various fashionable things, everything from marbles to my favorite one ever is the opening container is covered with like a plastic membrane over the soil, rope lighting installed on top of that, and then the tumbled beach glass, like the institutional or industrial glass that's repurposed, was laid over the rope lighting.
Oh, that's a great idea!
Yeah, so when you come out at night, you not only is it there, and it's this soft light that you can see that special person's face while you're out there, but the whole thing lights up, and by golly, it's a convenient place to set your drink if you happen to have one, you know, because it's about that right height, you know.
Well, I'm Jake with that. But what about flowers? Do you have any particular flowers you think would really thrive well in pots?
I think that, again, based on one's exposure, so if it's highly exposed, you have to think of the wind. The wind is what you're up against there. So a tall, leggy flower like a marigold would not be as suitable as say, you know, right now it's a little cooler. And
pansies
look great. They just seem to take it really well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so you get into the summer growing season, some of the perennial and annual grasses look fabulous up there, kind of wafting in the wind. And then low vegetation down around their ankles.
Oh, like what? Like, give me a good idea.
Lysimachia, sweet potato vine.
Ooh, I love that.
Some of that.
Some stuff that smells good because it will be right nearby
and
you.
Some thyme. That would smell nice.
Like maybe some lemony thyme, which would be
chocolate.
Beautiful. Yeah, it would look beautiful. It would smell great, and you can use it in your cooking.
That's right.
So you're really hitting all the notes there.
That would be a great combination for people to try. You know, that's similar to the top dressing with some other kind of organic material. If you have the top of the pot filled with plants, it's less likely that the wind and the rain is going to splash that dirt out of there and make a mess for you.
Okay, great advice there, Murph. Thank you very much. Coming up next week, Mark from Bloomington asks for Murph's advice about a partially uprooted evergreen tree. Do we save it? Do we cut it down? If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, send it along to us, and maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.